Today's gospel follows closely on the heels of yesterday's gospel. As you remember, that was the gospel where Jesus asked his followers, "Who do you say that I am?" And they said, "Some say Elijah, some say one of the prophets." And he said, "But who do you say that I am?" And they get it right. They say who Jesus is. But then Jesus says the Son of Man must be handed over to men and die. And then he follows up again today with this, this saying, the Son of Man is to be handed over to men. This causes tremendous scandal for the followers of Jesus. They really don't expect that he's going to be put to death, that the Messiah is going to be put to death. Obviously, one of the corollaries of this is that Jesus' followers are going to have to experience a great deal of suffering as well. Well, hopefully, since we know how the story of Jesus ends with the crucifixion, the resurrection, hopefully we're not in the same boat as Peter and the other apostles. Hopefully we understand that suffering will come into our lives because we're followers of one who himself was crucified. You know, the psalmist had told us in the Old Testament that our span is 70 years or 80 for those who are strong. And most of these are emptiness and pain. In the Hail Holy Queen, we refer to this life as a valley of tears. I want to maybe just lay out a few things, a few principles of how we can deal with the suffering that will come our way in this life. First, never flee from suffering. Never flee from the cross. My favorite story about suffering in the Bible might be the first reading on the Feast of the Triumph of the Holy Cross. That reading during the Exodus talks about how the Israelites are unfaithful to God. And God punishes them by sending seraph serpents to bite them. And then God later repents, presumably because the people have repented. And he decides to cure them. But his method for curing them is curious. They have to make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and the people have got to look at it. And then they'll be cured. So the only way to be cured is to look at the very object of their shame, their humiliation, their infidelity to God. And by gazing at that, somehow they're cured. The same is true in our lives. We can't run from our past. We can't run from the sufferings that we're experiencing now or that we anticipate we're going to experience in the future. We've got to face them head on. And when we do that, tremendous healing can take place. Oftentimes in our lives, we do try to run away from suffering. You know, we act as though, you know, if I just get... If I read about this topic, this will make everything clear for me. If I'm able to get the right balance in my life of prayer, exercise, ministry, etc., everything's going to take care of itself. If I do this or that, everything's going to be fine. And if we believe that, and we'd never consciously say that, right? But we act as though it's true. When we believe that, we're setting ourselves up for misery because the cross is always going to be with us. But when we understand that suffering is going to be present with us, when we face it head on, we set ourselves up for great joy because when we know suffering is going to be present, then we can really savor the good moments that come. We can really thank God when they do come to us. Now, when I say that we can't flee the cross, I want to distinguish that between a sort of a neurotic obsession with the cross. Sometimes faithful followers of Jesus, they think that not fleeing the cross means continuing to bring up the garbage from the past over and over again. So for instance, sometimes even faithful Christians will think of a past sin, for instance, a sin that they've confessed in reconciliation. And they'll keep allowing the devil to use it as something to hold them back, to kind of keep them shackled. Well, confronting that sin simply means saying, okay, God has forgiven me of it. Every time the devil brings it up, I have to see that it's a temptation of the devil and not dwell on it. Remembering that as part of my past means reminding myself I'm not that person anymore. I've moved beyond that. But I could relapse into that again. So I ought to be very careful. I ought to be very humble, even though I'm in a much better space now. Facing the sin means simply saying, that's where I was before. I'm where I am now because of Jesus' mercy. I'm going to thank Him for that mercy. Sometimes this dredging up stuff from the past can involve hurts that other people have done to us, and so we feel great anger towards them or a lack of forgiveness. And facing that head on means saying to myself, look, I don't have to have great warm feelings towards this person who's harmed me. But, you know, I'm in a place now where I can pray for that person. I can truly make an act of the will to ask God for their well-being. I still don't like that person or what they've done to me, but I'm going to choose to will the best for that person. It doesn't mean feeling guilty because we don't have warm feelings towards that person. So that would be, I think, the first principle, is never flee from the cross. We've got to take our sufferings head on and accept them as part of life, as part of life. And by accepting them, our joys will certainly be enhanced. A second principle with suffering, then, is to offer up our sufferings. Colossians 1:24, Paul says, I fill up in my own body what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of His body, the church. This is such a hope-filled passage. Paul makes clear other places that we're the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the members of that body. One of the real blessings of being His body is that as His body, we share in His redemptive action. That just as His suffering on Calvary brought all grace, salvation into the world, so as a part of His body, our sufferings can be united with His sufferings, because we are members of His body. Benedict Rochelle said that there's nothing worse than wasted suffering. And that's so true. You know, it's good at the beginning of our day just to say, all the sufferings I encounter today, I'm offering to You, Lord, for the salvation of my family, or for the conversion of sinners, or for our religious order, or for Bishop Boyer, or our political leaders, Pope Benedict. But just to pick something. Usually, when suffering comes my way, I don't offer it up. I forget to do it, and then I usually end up either getting angry or whining about it. But I find that when I actually do offer it up, a lot of times the suffering will actually go away. And part of that is because some of the suffering that enters into our life is directly caused by the evil one. And when he sees that this is going to be used for good, he has no interest in making us as miserable. Maybe a last principle with suffering is to remember that when it happens, it is happening for a reason. That suffering a lot of times is God's instrument to purify us, to make us holier. It's the hammer and the chisel that's working away at that's forming us into something beautiful. Now, suffering doesn't have to make us holy. Suffering can make us bitter and angry and can lead us to self-pity, but it can make us really holy if we understand that God is a lot of times doing something, that He's giving us an opportunity to grow closer to Him. You know, God is, in a certain sense, closer to us when we suffer than when we're not, in a certain sense. You know, a popular way to try to capture that reality is that poem, The Footprints, that you've all read, where there's a two set of footprints on the sand, but there's only one set when the soul is suffering the most, and that was when God carried the soul in the midst of suffering. It's very important to remember that we are very close to the Lord in the midst of suffering. And the crucifix has got to remind us of that. That suffering for the Christian is not a sign of abandonment. It's not a sign of disfavor with God. It's really a sign of unity with God that we're experiencing what the Son of God experienced when He was here on earth. If we just realize that God is with us in the midst of our suffering, it makes the burden much, much lighter. If we let Him carry the cross is much lighter in our lives. So, of course, everything that I said today isn't going to make suffering go away, isn't going to make it much lighter. But I think when there's an understanding of what's going on, the ability to carry the cross is much greater. When we have a bigger global view of what's going on, we don't flee from the cross. We're much stronger. So today we thank God that His Son suffered for us. This gives our suffering tremendous hope and meaning.